Okay, well, it's January 29th, and we're on our 12th session studying the kingdom of God. And I don't think we're even halfway through this, so we've got a ways to go. This is a big project, but it's been fascinating so far, and it'll get even better. So last few sessions, we looked at the kings of Israel after the kingdom was divided, north and south. So in the north, we had Jeroboam, who was king for 22 some years, and he just did terribly. Even though he had all the advantages, that God chose him, God promised to help him if he would obey God. But Jeroboam, once he became king, just kind of tossed God behind his back, made up his own rules, made golden calves, and he made Israel to sin, is what it says of him. And his son after him only reigned a couple of years. And then another guy named Baasha took over and killed all the males in Jeroboam's family, which God said would happen. So in that sense, he did the will of God. But after that, he just continued doing what Jeroboam had done. And God got very angry at him, and he reigned for about 24 years, and his son after him 2 years. And then somebody else came along and killed all of them. I think his name was Zimri, and he only reigned for a week. And then another king named Omri took over, and he did even worse than the others. And then he had a son named Ahab, who did even worse than the others before him, bringing Baal worship into Israel. And then after he died, his son after him was killed by Jehu, who was very zealous to do the will of God until he became king. He killed all the males in Ahab's family, which God said would happen. So he fulfilled the will of God in that sense. Oh, and he did get the Baal worship out of Israel, which was a good thing. But it says he took no heed to walk according to the law of God. So he never walked according to the law of God or made that the law of the land. So his kingdom lasted, I think, four generations because God was pleased with the one thing that he did. But then after him, it all went downhill to the point that the Assyrian Empire came and they just wiped everybody out. They took all the people out of Israel and put them in other places and brought Gentiles from those other places and put them in where Israel was. And they just called it Samaria because Samaria had been the capital city of Israel. But now the whole region was called Samaria, and the people that lived there, they were from other places, so they were not descendants of Israel, and that stayed that way for hundreds of years. But now we want to look at the kings of Judah, where all the kings of Judah were of the house of David. They were all direct descendants of David. And the first one, we've read about him already, was Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And Rehoboam was the first king of Judah as far as after the kingdom divided. So he reigned over the tribe of Judah and over the tribe of Benjamin, which joined in with Judah. But Benjamin was small because back in the days of the book of Judges, there was war between the tribe of Benjamin and the other tribes. So the population of Benjamin got whittled down to very few. They multiplied some after that, but they never became what they would consider a full tribe. So Judah and Benjamin stayed together, and we want to read about what happens after this, after Solomon died and after the kingdom split. So we're going to go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 1. When we looked at the kings of Israel, we stayed mostly in the books of Kings, 1 and 2 Kings. Because it focuses on the kings of Israel there, mentions the kings of Judah, might give a little summary of the reign of each king, but it doesn't give a whole lot of detail in Kings regarding the kings of Judah. But Chronicles focuses more on the kings of Judah, and we'll learn a lot more from here. So in some cases, we'll bounce back between the two, but we're going to spend most of our time in Chronicles studying the kings of Judah. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, this is after the split, after the people came to Rehoboam and asked him to lighten their burdens, lower the taxes, basically. And he consulted with the elder counselors and the younger counselors. The elder counselor said, speak kindly to them, do what they ask, they'll serve you forever. The younger one said, you show them who's boss. Took the counsel from the younger ones and told them that he would increase their burdens, make it harder for them. So they said, to heck with you, you can govern your own tribe. We're going to secede from the union, so to speak, and have Jeroboam king over us. So in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he gathered the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against Israel, that he might bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam. So he said, you're not going to separate without a fight. And if you remember also, after they said, we're separating, he sent his tax collector up north to collect the taxes, and they stoned him, killed him. And Rehoboam was with him on that trip, and he saw that they killed his tax collector. It says he jumped in his chariot and headed south as fast as he could before they could get to him. But he got an army together, and he said, we're going to bring him back. We're going to reunite the kingdom. But on the way, verse 2 says, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go, nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his house, for this thing is done of me. And they obeyed the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. So it's a good thing that they listened, because it would have gone very badly for them if they had disobeyed God. But they had enough respect for God, saying, okay, prophet of God said, don't fight against the northern kingdom. Go home. They all went home. And then we're going to skip down a few verses to verse 13, where it says, and the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coasts. Because if you recall, Jeroboam in the northern kingdom, he let people be priests that were not Levites. He told all the Levites, get out of here. Under the law, you had to be of the tribe of Levi and of the family of Aaron to be a priest. But Jeroboam said, we're changing the rules here. So you Levites, get out of here. So all the Levites and the priests, they came down to Judah. Okay? Verse 14, for the Levites left their suburbs and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. And he ordained him priests for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. So they are worshiping devils up north, it says here in Chronicles, and those golden calves. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. So not only did the priests and the Levites go from the north to the south, but everybody that really wanted to serve God, and they said, we don't want to be here where they're worshiping golden calves in the high places and things like that. So all the ones that really loved God, they came down to Judah and Jerusalem. So the population of that northern kingdom, which originally was much bigger than that of Judah, it's decreasing up north and increasing in the south. People are moving and relocating because they want to be where they're worshiping God. They wanted to do their sacrifices to the actual God in the temple that was built for that purpose. Now, still idolatry going on, because Solomon at the end of his life had made all these high places and was worshiping other gods himself. So there's kind of a mix of things going on. But let's see what happened. Verse 17 says, so they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam the son of Solomon strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. Now that's something you won't pick up from reading in 1 Kings, but here it says that for the first 3 years they went to walk according to the law. They walked the way David did and the way Solomon did originally. But notice it only mentions 3 years that this happened. Verse 18, and Rehoboam took him Mahalath, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, to wife. So he married his cousin. Now, it wouldn't be a first cousin, maybe a second or third cousin once removed or something like that. But they were both grandchildren of David. Mahalath, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, and Rehoboam was the grandson of David through Solomon. Okay, might have had different mothers, but, you know, they're related back to David. And Abihail, the daughter of Eliab, the son of Jesse. Now, Eliab was David's oldest brother. If you remember when Samuel went to anoint son of Jesse to be king, the first one he looked at was Eliab. And he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And God said, no, I've rejected him. That's this Eliab, you know, David's older brother, the son of Jesse. So he had a daughter named Abihail, and Rehoboam married her, and she bare him children. Verse 20 says, and after her, he took Maachah, the daughter of Absalom. So remember David's son Absalom that tried to take away the kingdom from his father and actually fought against him? He had a daughter. Her name was Maachah, and Rehoboam married her, and she bare him Abijah, and Attai, and Zizah, and Shelomith. Abijah will come up again. It says, and Rehoboam loved Maachah, the daughter of Absalom, above all his wives. So she was the favorite among his wives and his concubines. For he took 18 wives and 60 concubines, and begat 28 sons and 60 daughters. So he had a big family. And Rehoboam made Abijah, the son of Maachah, the chief, to be ruler among his brethren, for he thought to make him king. So remember the name Maachah, the daughter of Absalom, because it will come up later on. Okay? Now, let's go to chapter 12, verse 1. And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And that's just so sad. This is the fourth year, apparently, because for 3 years they were doing great, walking like David and Solomon. And now, just the next year, they forsook the law of the Lord. And everybody that had come down to Israel because they wanted to worship the true God, they went with him. So now, the will of God's not being done anymore. Verse 2, and it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. Why? Because they had transgressed against the Lord. Now, that might not have been the reason Shishak had in mind, but that's the reason why God allowed this to happen. They had transgressed against the Lord. They threw away the word of God. And he came with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, 60,000 horsemen, and the people were without number. It means you can't even count how many there were that came with him out of Egypt. The Lubims were the Libyans. That's northern Africa. And the Sukims, that's the word that means the hut dwellers, and the Ethiopians. So all these African nations are coming with him to attack Judah. And he took the fenced cities, which pertained to Judah, and came to Jerusalem. So he took all the fortified cities, and then he came to Jerusalem, which is up on a hill and a little better fortified, had a big wall around it. But he came to attack that as well. Then came Shemaiah the prophet. Remember, that's the man of God that told Rehoboam not to attack Jeroboam and his brethren up there. The same Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. So everybody, they ran out of the other cities that came to Jerusalem, and Shemaiah said, this is why this has happened. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. They didn't say, what a terrible thing for God to do this to us. They said, no, he's right. We forsook God. God allowed this to happen. In fact, if you read the law, it says if you forsake God, that these things will happen. The curse of the law. Remember, there was the blessing and the curse, and they were still under that covenant, right? So the blessing was, if you love God and keep his commandments, prosperity, good health, victory over your enemies, okay? The curse was, if you forsake God, you worship other gods, then sickness and disease, poverty, and defeat against your enemies. they will defeat you, okay? So this is what happened. And they said, the Lord is righteous. What he did is right. But let me tell you, whatever God does is always going to be right, even if people don't think so. People might accuse God of doing things that are wrong. God is never wrong. God is always right. He can only do what's right. He is the judge of what's right. Now, in verse 7, it says, and when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, that makes a big difference to God. He saw that they humbled themselves. The word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves. Therefore, I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Remember, even when Ahab, the very, very bad king, was reproved again and again, and then finally he humbled himself and walked in sackcloth and ashes, and God took notice that, oh, Ahab humbled himself. Therefore, I'm still going to do what I said I'm going to do, but I'm going to wait until he's fallen asleep so he won't see it. In this case, he said, I'm going to grant them some deliverance. But in verse 8, it says, nevertheless, they shall be his servants, meaning they shall be servants to Shishak, king of Egypt, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. They are going to suffer consequences for having abandoned my word. I'm just not going to allow Shishak to destroy them entirely and wipe out the city and the temple. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. So he didn't destroy the place. He just took silver and gold and these golden shields out of there. So they were at least spared from being destroyed. Now, I want to look at what happened that fourth year. Remember, 3 years they were doing well, then the next year they turned away from God. First Kings does give us some information about that in chapter 14. So we're going to come back here, but let's look at First Kings 14, starting in verse 21. Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Judah to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah in Ammonitis. So Solomon had married a lady from the Ammonite nation, and Rehoboam was his son by her. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. So worse than Solomon, they went further. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also sodomites in the land. The sodomites were the male temple prostitutes. This is something that apparently they didn't have under King Solomon when he got into idolatry. But this is something that was just sickening to God, which is why it says, and they did according to all the abominations. That means something that's just disgusting. According to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So back in the days of Joshua, it says the people of the land were doing things like this, and it just made God sick. And it says that the land spewed them out. You know, God just wanted to get rid of all that stuff. And now his own people are doing the same things. So this would have happened not the first 3 years of Rehoboam, but on that fourth year, they abandoned the word of God and they started doing this stuff, and even worse than the things that Solomon and his wives had done. Because then it talks about that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, like we read about in 2 Chronicles. So let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 12, where we were. Verse 6, whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves. They said, the Lord is righteous, and he gave them that deliverance. Now, let's read a little bit further here. Verse 12, and when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah, things went well. So that was a turning point when Rehoboam and everybody humbled themselves before God. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned for Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years. And that's the same as what we read in 1 Kings here. But verse 14, it says he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And that, again, would refer to that fourth and fifth year where they were doing so badly. And even after he humbled himself, it doesn't say he necessarily went back to doing the will of God very well after that. But the humbling was a big deal. It went better. But what he did, you know, they suffered consequences for that. Now, in verse 16, it says, and Rehoboam slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David, that's within Jerusalem, and Abijah, his son, reigned in his stead. So, Abijah. 1 Kings 15 mentions Abijah, but it spells it with an M at the end, Abijam. So, let's take a look at what it says there in 1 Kings 15. This gives a short summary, but Chronicles will give more details. So 1 Kings 15:1. Now in the 18th year of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. And that's, again, the same as Abijah. They just spell it differently here. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. That was the entire length of his reign, was 3 years. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Abishalom is Absalom, okay? It's a different spelling of Absalom, but it's the same guy, son of David. And he walked in all the sins of his father being Rehoboam, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Now, when it says perfect, it means whole, entire. That doesn't mean he never made a mistake. If someone is perfect, doesn't mean there's no mistakes made, but it means not worshiping any other gods, okay? Like Abraham, God told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect, meaning let me be your only God. Don't worship any other ones. So Abijah, his heart was not perfect, meaning, yeah, he recognized God, but he also recognized other gods. But when we go back to 2 Chronicles, we're going to pick it up in chapter 13, it has some good things to say about Abijah, and we want to read that. So 2 Chronicles 13, verse 1 says, now, in the 18th year of Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. But this Micaiah, that's the same as Maacah, okay? Remember, Rehoboam married Maacah, and among his children was Abijah. So this spells the name differently here. And Uriel was her father, but Absalom was her grandfather or something like that. But Absalom is still in the mix, okay? And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. So Abijah has 400,000 men in his army. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. So the army of Israel is twice the size of the army of Judah under Abijah. But let's see what Abijah has to say. He's going to make a speech to the king and the people of Israel. It says, and Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim. Ephraim is part of the northern kingdom. And he said, hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand him. He was inexperienced at being king at the time. It was like his first day. Now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods? means they could buy their way into the priesthood and be the priest of these false gods. But as for us, verse 10, the Lord is our God, that's Jehovah, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table and the candlestick of gold and the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. So while he's making the speech, it says, but Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. So while he's making this big speech, Jeroboam's sending some soldiers around the back to attack him from both sides. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. They're surrounded. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Well, they cried to the right God, right? And the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. That's more than half of the army of 800,000 that they started with. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. So God did help them. Even though there was idolatry going on in high places, in this battle at least, they were relying upon God, and God did help them. God did help them. So the population of Israel now has gone down further by 500,000, okay? And Abijah pursued after Jeroboam and took cities from him. One of them was Bethel. That's where one of the golden calves was set up, right? Bethel with the towns thereof, and Jeshana with the towns thereof, and Ephraim with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah waxed mighty, and married 14 wives, and begat 22 sons and 16 daughters. And the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. So Abijah slept with his fathers in chapter 14 now, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And that's kind of a big deal for nations that are always fighting against each other. It seemed like even when they didn't have a big war between the whole nation of Israel and Judah, they were still fighting over the cities at the borders. But look at verse 2. This is a breath of fresh air. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Isn't that wonderful? Just to read that verse. After all, we've read about the kings that disobeyed God and all these things. And look what he did, verse 3. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves. Now, if Rehoboam had done that, and if Abijah had done that, then there wouldn't be any high places and images to cut down, would there? So even though Abijah made that big speech about relying upon God, those high places and those images and strange gods and altars to the strange gods, they're still there. That's why it said Abijah's heart was not perfect. He claimed to be relying upon God, and he did rely upon God in that battle. And they did have the temple, and they did the things in the temple as they were supposed to do it. But outside of Jerusalem, all these other things were going on. But Asa took it upon himself to get rid of all that stuff. The altars of the strange gods, the high places, the images. And there's also a verse in 1 Kings about him that says he got rid of the Sodomites too. Verse 4, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment, like the first 3 years of Rehoboam. But had been a while since the law of God was the law of the land. Now, under Asa, he commanded everybody, this is what we're doing. This is how we're governing the kingdom. the law that God gave Moses, this is the law that we're living by. It's not just something to read about in a book. It's something we're doing. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images. And the kingdom was quiet before him. They had a time of great peace. And he built fenced cities in Judah. And when it says fenced cities, that means cities with stone walls around them that would keep the enemies out. So he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest and he could do these construction projects. And he had no war in those years because the Lord, Jehovah, had given him rest. He kept the others from attacking. He defended them, protected them. Therefore, he said unto Judah, the king said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So he recognized that that's the reason why it was nice and quiet. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears. And when it says targets, that means shields or bucklers that would have barbs on them, like pointy things coming out of them, so they could be used as weapons as well as defense. So he had an army out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 200,000, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. So he had the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, and all those from up north that had come down to be with them. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian. So this must have been after that first 10 years. Zerah the Ethiopian came with an host of 1,000,000. That's 1,000,000 soldiers and 300 chariots, and came to Marashah. So, again, how many does Asa have? Has 300,000 and another 280,000. So that's 580,000 against 1,000,000. So another situation where fighting against an army twice as big. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marashah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. That is a great prayer, saying, we're trusting in you, God. Fight for us. Don't let them prevail against you. You're the one fighting for us. You're not going to let them win. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So even though there was 1,000,000 of them, they started getting killed and they ran away. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. That's in the Philistine country. And the Ethiopians were overthrown that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. Then it talks about the spoil, the treasures that they got afterwards. But we'll move on to chapter 15, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. So he's a prophet. The Spirit of God came upon him. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Very similar to the warning that was given to Solomon, right? Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. So even those that were doing wrong, when they turned back to God, he would help them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. And Azariah is continuing to speak to Asa here, where he said, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. So you put your effort into sticking with God and sticking with his word and doing his will, your efforts will be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. So they had captured some territory from the north, and he got rid of the idols there too. And he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. It means it gotten into disrepair. They rebuilt it back up. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with them. So look at this. There's a flow of people coming from the northern kingdom into the southern kingdom because they saw that the Lord God was with Asa. They said, I want a fellowship with him. I want to live near him. I want to live in his kingdom because he's doing what's right before God now. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. So that was a great time where the people, they committed themselves. We're all going to worship God and God only. You know, if we find any more idols in the land, they got rid of them. Now look at verse 16. Remember Maacah, the daughter of Absalom that Rehoboam had married? It says, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen. Now it says the mother of Asa. We read before that she was the mother of Abijah. But this word mother can also mean grandmother. Okay. Maacah, who was the favorite queen of Rehoboam, she continued to be like the queen mother, the first lady of the kingdom of Judah. But he removed her from being queen. Okay. Said, Grandma, sorry, you're not going to be the queen mother anymore. He removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. So, sorry, Grandma, your idol's got to go, and you got to take a back seat now. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel in the north. We'll read about another king named Josiah later on, who actually does go up north and gets rid of all the idols there as well as in the southern kingdom. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. I mean, he only worshiped God. He never worshiped any other gods. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Now, that's all great so far, but there's something that happens here with Asa. Verse 1, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, remember he's the one that wiped out Jeroboam's family, he came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So he built this fortified area, which would have been at the place where the people from Israel that were coming down were going through this area to Judah. He said, we're going to put a stop to the flow of the population leaving Israel to go down to Judah. Remember, we looked at when Ahab was fighting against Syria, that they only had an army of little over 7,000. And I was wondering, how did it get to be that small? Well, the reason why is 500,000 were killed under Jeroboam, and then people came pouring out of Israel into Judah. So Judah is getting more populous, and Israel is getting less populous. And Baasha say, we got to put a stop to this migration here. So he built this place called Ramah. And Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So he's sending money to Ben-Hadad. And we read about Ben-Hadad that during the days of Ahab, which would be after this, that he insulted God, saying, he's God of the hills, not of the valleys. Remember, that was Ben-Hadad who said that. So this occurs before that time, but it's the same guy, and Asa sending money to Ben-Hadad to help him. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. So he put a stop to the building of that Ramah place, and he used the materials to build a couple of other places. And at that time Hanani the seer came up to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. And they're going to be trouble later on. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host? Remember the million-man army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Remember that? That was kind of a big deal at the time. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. The time of peace is ended for you because you relied upon a man that worships other gods instead of relying on the God that has helped you all along. Then Asa was very wroth with the seer. He was angry at the prophet. That shows a little lack of meekness, you know? He didn't humble himself. He was angry with the seer and put him in prison, in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians or the healers. I don't know if they were medical men like we have today, like podiatrists, but they had these healers that would try to heal people, and he sought to them, but he didn't seek to God. Apparently even pray to God to heal him. So took a little bad turn at the very end of his life, unfortunately. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. That was a good long reign, though. And for the most part, he did very well, but at the end, not so good. But at least he never did worship other gods. That he never did. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. And next week, we'll read about Jehoshaphat. Chapter 17, verse 1, it says, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. So we'll see. Would Jehoshaphat be a good king like David and Solomon was in the beginning and like Asa was most of his life? How would he do? We'll find out. So we always want to pay attention. Is the will of God being done on the earth? That's the great qualifier of the way the kingdom of God should be, at least in the area where there's a man that God set to be king, a man that God is helping, a man that God is working with. Is that man doing his will, and is he having the people that he's serving do the will of God? So we saw for a time, yeah, Rehoboam was, but then turned away. Abijah, so-so, but at least relied upon God in the battle. Asa, for the bulk of his life, loved God, took away the idols, commanded the people to do the will of God, to obey the word of God, trailed off a little at the end of his life. And we'll see what happens with Jehoshaphat and the ones that come after him. But I'll give you a little warning. There's some drama ahead. Okay? There is drama coming. But we'll look at that next week.